You're listening to KTWH 99.5 FM. I am in the studio today, Tuesday, February 16th, with a phone connection out to our Lake County Public Health Nurse, Sarah Preston. I'm glad to have you back visiting with the listeners today. Sarah, it's been a very busy time, and I appreciate your time a lot.
It's great to be here, Leo. Thanks for reaching out again.
Yeah. And Sarah, I thought it'd be nice for people to at least know a little bit about the person behind the source of all this great information about COVID-19 and vaccinations. And so, Sarah, you have had a pretty long career in nursing, not trying to age you or anything. I was interested in sharing with the listeners what your experience as a health professional has been, how you got into your career and what you've done during your career as a nurse.
So nursing is a second career for me. I became a nurse, passed my board licensure exam when I was 38, and my first career was in early childhood education and child care.
Wow.
Yeah, because I became a nurse sort of late in life, I felt like I really needed to try out a lot of things quickly. So in roughly the first, 5 years that I was a nurse, I held, 4 different jobs, I think, some of them at the same time. But my primary job was to work inpatient at United Hospital in St. Paul on a medical surgical unit. So I did that for about 5 years, and then from there I went to Abbott Northwestern, and I was a diabetes educator, both inpatient and outpatient, for about 3 years. And then I moved up here and worked at the vet's home for a short time, and then worked in public health for about 5 years, and then went to work in the schools, which is where our paths crossed the first time.
Okay.
And school nursing is really a branch of public health. It's under that same umbrella. In order to be a licensed school nurse, one has to have public health nursing certification. And so that's how I kind of came to that. And then I was kind of getting to the end of my career at school and decided to help out public health again because they didn't have any nurses. So retired from the schools, and now I'm working more than full time with public health.
There must be some reason why you're working more than full time right now.
There's this small matter of pandemic, yes.
Yes,
exactly.
This is an odd way to go about having some lightness in a conversation about COVID. Thanks for indulging me, Sarah. I'm just curious, so how many years have you had the chance to live up on in our North Shore area in Lake County or wherever it is that you live nearby, I assume?
Yeah. It's about 13 and a half years, I guess, now.
Wow.
So, yeah, and we live outside of Two Harbors, and yeah, I love living up here. I grew up in South Minneapolis, and that's where I moved from. And as you know, things down there are quite unsettled still after last Memorial Day.
Yeah.
And yeah, so as much as I miss some of that city life, I am really glad to be up here and living at a slower pace, except for this pandemic and all the work it's brought.
Well, I think we have to be pretty grateful to have somebody with the range of experience that you have in public health at a critical time. And so I guess now we can kind of focus back in on that little subject of COVID that we really get together kind of irregularly, but I'm glad to have you back in person. You've been sending us weekly reports, which I'm really grateful for. You've been sending those weekly reports in text because you've been going gangbusters, running clinics and getting people signed up for when the vaccines arrive to have timely clinics. Do you want to share with us kind of a recap of what's happened in the last few weeks in terms of delivering vaccines in Lake County, getting the first and or second doses underway, and how many people you've been able to reach and how the system is working? Kind of the overview before we dive in any particular specific.
Yep, sounds good. So the last couple weeks have been very busy. Last week alone, we delivered 520 vaccines to people. Most of those were first doses. So it was a very, very busy week. We had two days of about 200 doses each, and then another day that was about 120. That adds up to 520, I think. And at this point, as of the 14th, actually, of February, about 21% of the population in Lake County has received their first dose, and close to 5% are fully vaccinated. So that's really exciting. We feel like we're well on our way to getting the community vaccinated. We have moved into childcare and educators, and so all of our school district employees and childcare have been offered the vaccine, and so all those that want it have received a first dose. And we have pretty much finished up with that phase 1A, so those healthcare workers, EMS folks, first responders. So they have all been vaccinated with a first dose and many with their second dose at this point. Of course, as new hires happen, you know, new people are hired into different positions, that'll continue to fold people into subsequent phases. But we are done for the moment with those groups, with first doses at least. In Lake County, 48% of those 65 and older have received at least one dose, and 15% of those 50 to 64 have received at least one dose. So I feel like we're in good shape.
I was seeing the report from Lisa Hansen of Health and Human Services to the county board, and it noted that 1,300 people of the 2,200 who have received at least one dose, 1,300 of those are in the 65-plus age category. So you must have a pretty good handle on the number of people in that 65-plus audience that you're trying to get in to be vaccinated. And, of course, no one is compelled to be vaccinated, so you don't know whether there are some people who have just chosen not to have the opportunity.
Right. Yep. So we don't know that. But, you know, we do feel like we're capturing a great part of that audience. So that's very exciting. In addition, you know, we are not necessarily vaccinating all of the people that have been vaccinated. Some of them have gone down to the deck and have taken advantage of some of those other systems that are delivering vaccine.
Good point.
But those numbers are really encouraging.
So these totals do include your finding out, I don't know what the conduit is for gathering the information on all the people in the county, but you have access to the totals of number of people vaccinated, Sarah? Is that what I'm understanding?
We do.
Okay.
Yep. So the Minnesota Department of Health has something called the vaccine dashboard, and you can open that up and look at the state totals, but then you can click on a particular county and find the county statistic for vaccination rates.
Yeah, so you have to keep that in mind as you try to figure out how many people are you still actually trying to serve, because there are people that you're not putting the shot in the arm. And just out of curiosity, how many staff-wise, how many people are actually doing administration of the doses, you know, shots in arms, and what kind of support staffing does it take to run your pop-up clinics? Just a little curious, a peek of, you know, how that operation goes. I know you told me a staggering number of people that you could vaccinate in one day, one person, but I'm hoping that you get a break.
That's an excellent question and a really good opportunity for me to give a shout out and a huge thank to all of the volunteers that are helping us. Currently, there's myself, and I'm working full-time, and we have a couple of part-time public health nurses on contract with the county who are also helping. But the rest of our vaccinators, and I think at this point we have about 17 total, so 14 of those people are volunteers, most of them retired nurses that have just stepped up during this pandemic to offer their services and to help out with these great big clinics. There are some of them that are willing to work all day long, so they're putting in 9 and 10 hour days sometimes, because we have to get there early, of course, and set up the clinic, which takes a little bit of time. We set up and then we have to draw up vaccine, and so that takes quite a few people. And then, you know, some days we are there until 5 o'clock in the evening and then taking down the clinic, putting everything away. So we have a great number of volunteer vaccinators, and we also have a lot of other sort of support staff, volunteers who are helping to register people, who are helping to enter data into our software system when people are finally vaccinated, volunteers who are helping with observation. Every person that's vaccinated has to wait about 15 minutes in an observation room. So we have volunteers staffing that room, and we have, gosh, I bet we have probably 30 or so volunteers total who are, you know, filling a schedule and just helping us out. It's been really, really fun.
It occurs to me, as you have more people in the county who have been vaccinated, you have more potential volunteers. And you also, this is an effort that the end is not in sight. So you could use a lot of opportunity to not burn out the quality people that have already stepped up. And if you could probably stand to have more volunteers over time, because this is going to go on for months.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. If there are people out there that are interested in helping out in one way or another, reach out and we'll get you going.
Okay. How do they do that?
You know, the more the merrier. Well, the first step is to sign up with something called Minnesota Responds, which is a medical reserve corps. So there's a whole process for registering with that system.
Okay.
And then, of course, we do have to do a background check for everybody.
Yeah.
But people can certainly call the main number at the county, or they could call me directly if they're interested in volunteering, and I can give you my number.
Yeah. Why don't we have your number on hand, Sarah, so that we have a station referral number would be great in case we
get
follow up on the story.
My number is 218-834-8535.
834-8535?
Yep.
All right. Great, Sarah. Thanks. And so the base of operations in general, I thought, for the pop-up clinics had been, and I don't know much about the new Lakeview facilities, the Lakeview Clinic Conference Room or Hospital Conference Room?
Yep, that's where we're holding our bigger clinics.
And then you've had ability to branch out in the last week or two.
We did. So we went up to Silver Bay and held a clinic up at Mary Mac, which is the old school up there that's used as kind of a community center. There are a few businesses in there, and Lake County has a service center there as well. And that worked beautifully. People came in one door, got themselves registered, went through the halls in one direction so they weren't passing each other. We had two big classrooms, and it just worked beautifully.
It's good to hear. I'm sure people were excited to have vaccine coming closer to them as well.
And they were.
How would you say, I know that this is a work in progress when you're responding to a pandemic. It's not like you're rolling out the same thing you do day after day, year after year, to establish a pop-up clinic hotline such as you have with your partner, Lakeview. How has that come about, and how is it evolving? How's it working in general? Are you pretty happy with it? Is it still got any improvements that you're trying to make on that system for people to find out how to be scheduled and get confirmation?
Sure. So the hotline is really designed with the idea that not everyone has equal access to the computer or the internet, or is not just internet savvy enough to get themselves registered online.
Sure.
So that's what the hotline was really designed for. We want to make sure that registration is fair and equitable. If people can register online, we are asking them to please do that, because you can imagine the volume of calls coming in for people who can't is quite large. So it's been a challenge to manage the hotline, but every time that the support staff that are doing that does the phone banking, if you will, opens the hotline and takes those calls, we continue to work out the glitches, and it becomes a more and more smooth system every time. The clerical end of this whole picture, in terms of printing, making sure we have consent forms ready, making sure those forms are in order and ready for the volunteers that are registering people that next morning, is incredibly time intensive. But our support staff have really stepped up, and it's almost a festive atmosphere when we're doing this, when we're getting ready for the next day's clinic. We will have, you know, the hotline will be open as soon as we get more vaccine. We did not get an allotment this week, but hoping going forward that we will. I did just hear on NPR on my way home that the federal government has greatly increased the number of doses that they're going to allocate to states. So I'm hopeful that means that going forward we'll get more and more vaccine.
Yes, and there's, of course, going to be some kind of response or lag time between when an pronouncement is made, maybe, and when it happens. But can we talk a little bit about that vaccine allocation process? I'm suspecting that it's gotten better because of the sheer numbers that you're reporting vaccinated, better than it had been when it was a really rocky ride in the first weeks. But you did just mention that no vaccine this week. So is it fair to say these are not necessarily predictable allotments? Do you know when the next date, the earliest date that you might actually see vaccine again would be?
We don't know. We don't get regular allotments, and there's a lot of uncertainty about what vaccine we're going to get and how much we'll get and when it will come. We hope that we'll be able to rely on regular allotments and that we'll know further out than the end of the week before. Right now, we find out on Friday how much we might be getting, and then that vaccine comes usually on Tuesday, although with the weather that the nation has had this last week, vaccine shipments are being delayed all over the country. But right now, there isn't a regular kind of schedule and allotment, and we don't know very far ahead of time. So that's made it really challenging to do that planning.
Yeah.
The CDC, the federal government, and the Department of Health are working really hard to assure that there is equitable vaccine delivery across the nation and the state. It's not going to be as predictable as we'd like. And, of course, what's been interesting is that there are some smaller counties like ours that seem to get ahead of other larger counties, and that's when we are not going to see as much vaccine.
Okay.
Because, of course, we're trying to keep things equitable across the state and across the nation.
You've got some people, responsible parties in Minnesota Department of Health and elsewhere, who are trying to make sure that Lake County doesn't get the 50% vaccination while another county is struggling to get to 10 or 15%. They taper off your supply, it sounds like.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I thought I heard Greg Ruberg to say when he spoke to Katya on KTWH last Friday is that you have to be careful that you could try to, once you hear that you're getting another allocation, you could try to schedule a clinic well in advance, but you probably have the concern of not scheduling a clinic till you're actually sure that you physically have received the vaccine. Is that right? Or can you do a little advance planning?
That is accurate. With second doses, we can be a little more assured that that vaccine is coming, but even then, we're very careful to let people know that second dose clinics are all dependent on vaccine availability. Oh. We have not had to cancel a clinic yet, and with first doses, we don't set those clinics up and plan for them until we know that vaccine is coming.
So the second doses that have been received in Lake County that you're, at least that you're familiar with, would have been administered to people in the Tier 1A of medical employees and perhaps residents of long-term care facilities, although that's not your responsibility, that population. Is that primarily who's gotten second doses? I'm wondering how many second dose clinics have you even held as public health?
So we have distributed or administered, 100 second doses.
Okay.
So far.
So it's just
I don't
started.
Know. You know, I can't speak to what Lakeview has done
right. Or
the long-term care facilities.
Just because you spoke to the idea that the second dose clinics could be relied upon to happen when the people need them to happen. And I was just wondering how that will work since overall you're resupply has gone up and down over time. They know when you need to administer second doses and the supply will arrive.
That's right. So every day after we finish a vaccine clinic and within 24 hours, every vaccine provider is required to upload their vaccinations to the state immunization database. It's called MIC, Minnesota Immunization Information Connection. And that is exactly what triggers that second dose shipment. If the state has it.
So when one of the folks out there has successfully scheduled and arrived to get their first dose vaccination at one of your clinics, is part of the process of doing intake and getting them through the vaccination that day that they leave with an appointment for a second dose?
They do not.
Because
second doses are all based on vaccine availability, and that is not assured.
Okay.
So what we tell people is that second doses are about availability, and we will be in touch. And then that's what we do. We reach out either via email or phone call and tell them, we've got vaccine, these are the days we've got planned for you, and then we encourage them to register online if they can. Otherwise, we get them registered over the phone.
So, of course, you're hard at work to try to do these clinics in as timely an effective way as you can. And at the same time, the pandemic has kind of a life of its own, and we're now facing the concern over the increased prevalence of the number of cases being seen, including people contracting the variant forms of the COVID-19, the disease from the coronavirus. And so is there any pressure to focus on just doing first doses right now to just try to minimize the impact that a wave of variants spreading could bring? Sarah, where's the thinking in the public health community right now, as far as you understand?
There seem to be two kind of schools of thought, if you will. One, that we should just get as many first doses into arms as is possible and hold off on second doses. The other, which is really based on what we know and the science behind what we know about how these vaccines work, is that we need to administer those second doses as close to the timeline that they're meant to be given. You know, 21 days for Pfizer vaccine and 28 days for Moderna. And right now, the guidance from the CDC continues to be get those second doses in people's arms rather than holding off and administering those second doses as first doses to somebody else.
So that is at least what you hear through those primary channels where CDC current policy is what's reigning. Although I'm sure that you're hearing that other public health experts are very concerned that perhaps at least in the 65 plus population that as many people as possible get a first dose.
Absolutely. Yep, that's very true. You know, Mike Osterholm is one of Minnesota's commissioners of health from many years ago.
Yeah.
And he's sort of in that first school of thought, thinking that we should just get as much vaccine into arms as we can if it's just a first dose. But again, we have to follow the guidance of the CDC, and if they change their guidance, then we'll follow that.
Right. Fair enough. Do you have any information? I haven't been tracking of late. Is the state of Minnesota seem to be doing a fair amount of additional lab testing to try to keep track of coronavirus variants. Have you seen anything of late as to whether we continue to see more cases in Minnesota?
We have. Honestly, I haven't taken a hard look at that for the last little bit, but they do seem to be popping up. I couldn't tell you exactly how many cases we have of those new strains or variants, but they do seem to be more contagious. They do seem to cause more severe illness than that initial strain. And so, again, broken record, and I'm sure I'll come back to it at the end of the interview, Leo, but it's just so important for people not to let their guard down. You probably know that we've seen a little bit of a spike in cases in Lake County, and we think that's partly due to, you know, people feeling like they're more safe because there were initially fewer cases, our case numbers were going down, but also because more and more people are vaccinated. But the reality is people really still need to adhere to those tried and true public health measures that minimize infection rate.
Yep. And in fact, I've seen a couple of scenarios just today where folks were in a public place without their mask on. And I thought to myself, well, am I going to start seeing more of this? And then I also am aware that in some of the upticks locally, they happened in environments where for at least a short period of time, some people were observed going maskless in, you know, in an environment where people were within the distance where COVID is contractible. And I thought to myself, that's kind of a sign of what letting our guard down might lead to. And if there are variants about, then the main thing about the variants is that they seem to be more contagious. So the numbers could grow faster than we saw them grow in previous upticks. And that's what I worried about.
Yep, that's exactly right. One of the other things that sort of changed as far as the variants being more contagious is the CDC is now recommending that people wear double masks. So a surgical mask underneath a cloth mask, again, just to minimize even further the potential that you could be infected or infect somebody else. Those double masks are just going to catch more of that virus.
And so that is now, in fact, part of CDC guidance. That double masking. Although having a mask to begin with is certainly a good start. Whether you're wearing one or two, the fit is going to be important as well, I bet.
That's right. That's right. It's really important that mask fits nice and snug around your face.
So, Sarah, I guess with the good news about how effective our vaccination efforts have been going in Lake County, we still, as we both agree, there's been a little bit of an uptick in confirmed cases locally lately. We had a very low positivity rate near the end of January, and I bet that's bumped up again with the uptick in the number of cases. But what are you going to be hoping to see as we approach a return to normalcy? Is it going to take another 20, 30, 40% of our population, even in our rural county, that's doing a good job before you'll start to feel like we're getting there?
You know, it's really hard to tell. The magic and science behind it is exactly that herd immunity that you're referring to, and we really have no idea when we're going to get there. I wish I could tell everybody that by July 4th, when we all want to celebrate the 4th of July, we'll be able to get together and gather in groups, but I can't say that. We just don't know.
Right.
There are so many unknowns, vaccine availability, the variants, case rates from here on out, how many people have had their second dose of vaccine. So, you know, we just don't know.
Well, certainly didn't mean to put you on the spot, but I was certainly curious as to whether you thought that as we approach the herd immunity, what we would see would be essentially very, very low new case rates or exactly what we'd be looking for. I guess I'm trying to give folks something that would be both factual, you know, not just like, oh, it's summer and I've been vaccinated, so everything is fine, because that is a risk, is that as individuals become vaccinated, they let go of their inhibitions. Or whatever, want to let go and get out and about without a mask on in public.
Absolutely. Yeah, and I certainly understand that. You know, I think we're all pretty weary, and it's going to be a while before it's warm enough for us to be outside with our friends, which is one of the ways that can be accomplished. But I think, you know, we've gotten this far. Our case rates did drop for a little bit. With the variants out there, we still just need to be really, really vigilant and do what we can to minimize the spread of COVID and especially the new strains.
Fair enough. You know. Do you think that there's a possibility that, as I don't believe that the J&J, Johnson & Johnson vaccine has yet been put to distribution? Has it received its emergency approval from the FDA?
It has not.
It has not. So would that be a game changer in terms of the amount of vaccine that might be able to get out here?
Yep, it would. It certainly would. Johnson & Johnson, as I've heard, is a one-dose vaccine. So that's going to make a big difference. We expect that they are going to apply for that emergency use authorization sometime in early March, and that is about a two-week process. So it would be mid-March or maybe a little later before that vaccine is available for health providers to get that into arms. One of the other things I heard, though, that was really encouraging is that Pfizer is going to try to ramp up its production by 50%.
Okay.
In addition, and I think you and I have talked about this, the expected number of doses out of a Pfizer vaccine vial was 5, but they have just changed the emergency use authorization, that's hard to say, to reflect the fact that very consistently providers are pulling 6 doses out of those vials.
And that sounds like a small difference, but that's like a 16% difference in what you get out of each vial. So, you know, that can be hundreds and hundreds of additional doses.
Exactly.
In one locale. Yeah. Fantastic. Yep. Sarah, I appreciate your time so much. I don't know, do you have an estimate of how many people you've personally vaccinated in the last few weeks?
Personally, I don't. It hasn't been a ton because I tend to be the person that's managing clinics and assuring that everything's going okay and troubleshooting.
Great. Okay.
But I can tell you that we are having so much fun, as odd as that might sound in the middle of a pandemic. It is just almost joyful to have people come in and to be able to vaccinate them. Most people are so appreciative and grateful, and it's giving everybody a lot of hope.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, we're seeing old friends that we haven't been able to see. I've been seeing family members. So it's a lot of fun for that reason as well.
Yeah, you're giving people a chance to start looking up instead of looking around them worried.
Exactly.
And they're seeing friendly faces in their midst that all want to have the same goal. That feeling of solidarity is pretty special, and you get to be part of that. I was just asking you about your personal jabs in the arm because I was curious as to whether you were getting repetitive motion symptoms of pushing the syringe. I don't know whether that happens to nurses or not.
No, I don't think so.
Okay. Well, it's a good thing.
Our smile muscles are really tired. I would say that's the biggest concern at this point. And maybe our feet.
Remember the stretch. Yeah, you have to stretch those hard-to-stretch muscles in your feet and your face. So I wish you well to the next time we visit. Thanks so much for spending time with us here recapping all the big news on COVID vaccinations. Thanks a lot, Sarah.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me, Leo. We'll talk again soon, I hope.
All right. Take care. Bye now.
Yep. Bye.
As Sarah Preston, our Lake County public health nurse, keeping you posted on what is going on in the region and right here in our county regarding the COVID vaccinations. Everyone who is interested in trying to get scheduled to be vaccinated for COVID-19 in Lake County should be aware that additional pop-up clinics will be scheduled as soon as vaccine becomes available, and that you should call the Lake County COVID-19 vaccine hotline at 218-834-8434. For more information, you're encouraged to check the message daily for the most current information about COVID-19 vaccine availability in Lake County, updated each morning, Monday through Friday. You're listening to KTWH.